So I just want to welcome you to the evening service, the first evening service for a long time. And I just want to share a short testimony with each one of you this evening. I'm not used to preaching at night. You may be seated. Sorry, I'm really not used to preaching at night. I just want to just share a testimony of how it all began for me. And I'll get to the message very shortly, but I just feel it's important to share this because we had Jeff Bullock here with us this morning, and I really appreciated his message. It was really good. It was really in season. And whenever someone's preaching unity, that's awesome, because that's where God's blessing is. Amen. And he said to me after the service, and I've never had this except for 24 years ago, he said, "Thanks for nodding and approving my message as he was preaching." And I said, "Well, I tend to do that if I agree." And I hadn't heard that word since I was at Jimboomba Baptist in 1999. Exactly what Jeff said to me this morning is what Pastor Lance Murgard told me in 1999. He said, "Thanks for appreciating my message and nodding and approving." Same thing. It was just amazing. But I said that to say this, is that God has a call on our lives. He has a call on each one of us. And through Pastor Lance Murgard in 1999, giving me the opportunity two Sundays after that situation I just told happened, he got me to preach on a Sunday night. And that was the first time I ever had an opportunity to preach in front of a congregation. I'd done a bit of youth stuff and things. But I got at the end of that service, we had an altar call, and there was two people who gave their hearts to Jesus that night on my very first message. And that meant so much to me. It's not me, it's God. But it meant so much to me. And I got back and I sat down in the seat after I had preached, and I just burst into tears, because I knew this is what it's all about. This is what, not just for me, but for you. This is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. There's nothing in the world else that matters. Nothing else that ought to matter anyhow. We let so many things get in our way. We let so many people influence us. We let the enemy influence us. We let the flesh influence us in our decisions and the things that we do. But just like the song we just sang, there is a way out. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a way maker, and His name is Jesus. He is the way maker. We're just going to bow our heads and open in prayer this evening. I'm really struggling with this time. My body clocks out in regards to preaching. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just come before You with the utmost gratitude tonight, and we just thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're here to lead and guide us. I thank You the word that I have been led to share from your Holy Spirit, Lord, from the Holy Spirit, the person, the Holy Spirit. I thank You that the words that I speak would be Your words tonight, that You would guide this message, Father God, and that let this be a landmark time for the Stanthorpe Baptist Church, Father God. Let it be a special time tonight for each one who has attended. I just give You praise, Lord, that You just touch the hearts of each and every one who is here. Just like You touched my heart in 1999 and You just revealed what ministry You were calling me to. And I thank You, Lord, that each one would have the obedience to hearken to Your call and to know, Lord Jesus, that You are the way maker. And we give You the praise and the honor for this night that we can come together in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to ask Joy to keep playing. It's fine. I just want to expose you to the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. And the message that I want to share with you is Waymaker. Just like the song, Waymaker. I'm not sure exactly where God's going to lead this, but I know He's going to lead it into a good place. Have you ever been through a test or a trial or a challenge in your life, and you need not answer that because I know all of us do. But do you know what? Whatever test you've been through, whatever trial, whatever challenge, when you embark and are thrown a test in front of you, you have two choices. You can succumb, wimp out, back out, and give up and say, no, I can't pass that test. It's impossible. That's number one choice. Number two choice is that you can face that test. You can say to the Lord Jesus Christ, your way maker, you know the way. I don't. I can't overcome this. You know, though. And I want you to be my help. I want you to be my ever-present help in this time of trouble, in this test. And if you take choice number two and you endure that test, you will have a testimony. There is no testimony without a test. I want you to hold on to that tonight, because the message that I've got here tonight that the Lord has for each one of us is that the Lord Jesus is with us through the trials, through the challenges, through the hard times in life. He is the way maker, just like the song says, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the hope of all of our days. I just want you to just ponder for a few moments what he's done for you in your life. David said that I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Have you heard that before? Or his descendants begging bread. I want you to know it's not you who is righteous in his house tonight. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the righteous one. He's the one that has asked you to take him by the hand. And he has promised you to lead you, your family, to the promised land. And the promised land is that of salvation in Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he's writing a love story on your heart tonight, every day. He's writing a love story on my heart. Are we going to allow him to write that love story? Are we going to allow him to complete that work that he has begun in us to see it through? Or are we going to give up, throw our hands in the air and walk away and miss what God is calling us to do? Just by having this service on a Sunday night is a bold move. No other church in town, except for one that I know of, does this. So it's a bold move. But, you know, when God tells someone to do something and it's inspired of the Holy Spirit, we ought to do it. And I want to encourage you tonight that God is on your side no matter what the challenges that lie ahead. We're just going to turn to Exodus, if you've got your Bibles there tonight. And I just want to read a passage here. It's chapter 14 that we will be reading from. Now we see in chapter 14, and we're just going to read verses 10 to 14 within that chapter, but we see here that Israel have just come from slavery. They've been released from Pharaoh's bondage of 400 years. And they took the spoils of Egypt, and it was but a few days. It wasn't that long. And they found themselves at a place called the Red Sea. Pharaoh is back in his palace, pondering what had just happened, what he had just done and allowed to happen. And suddenly he looks out his window. I'm paraphrasing this just to get you in, okay? Just to get you in. And he's looking and he's saying, all of this unfinished work, we had slaves doing this and now they're gone. I let them go. And you all know the story that he sent out his army in pursuit of this nation that he had just released. God had given them liberty, but the enemy wanted to take that liberty from them. And this is where the test began for Israel. Israel were all happy until this time that they seen the chariots coming over the hill and seeing the enemy who kept them in bondage for 400 plus years coming pursuing them. And they look to Moses and they say, why? Why? Let's just read this. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? The murmuring, the complaining, the whinging. Rightfully so, because there was fear in their hearts. But not rightfully so in the Lord's eyes. Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die here in the wilderness. And you know what? As a human being, I would tend to agree initially, but I know how the story ends. Here we find Israel jammed up between Pharaoh's army and a Red Sea, an uncrossable sea, apparently. But what does Moses say in verse 13? What does the man of God say in verse 13? He says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See the deliverance of the Lord. And it's even more than that. You know, like those ads, it says, but wait, there's more. Well, there's more, and I'm going to keep reading it. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. In other words, God is going to do a new thing. He's going to make a way. He's going to defeat the enemy that you can't defeat. He's going to defeat the enemy that has had you in bondage once and for all. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, you shall have peace in your hearts for all the days of your lives. And you know what? I would love to tell you right now after that, that Israel had peace for the rest of their days and there was no murmuring or whinging or complaining. But it didn't happen. It was a vicious cycle, like the book of Judges, like our lives sometimes. God does something good for us and then we soon forget of His goodness, of His mercy and His grace. So we see here in this passage, and it's not the main passage I wanted to share tonight, but I wanted to let you know that we need to have the heart that Moses had. Moses was put to a test there, and he passed the test by the words he spoke, by the actions, by the obedience to God. Daniel was put to a test in the lion's den, before the lion's den. And you all know the story that there was a decree that no one should pray to any gods except the king. But he prayed, as was his custom, to his God that he had prayed since early days. And not only that, but he opened wide his curtains so everyone could see it. And as a result, he broke the decree, he was judged, and he was placed in the lion's den. And the lions did not touch him, because God is the waymaker. God is the waymaker. He's the protector. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, and He is the end. God is so good. We're going to read a story tonight, and this is the message that I want to share with you tonight, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want you to be encouraged by this. There's so many revelations in this. In this whole chapter, I'd love to share with you, but we haven't got the time tonight to do that. So we're just going to read from... I'm just going to give you a bit of a background, and we're just going to read the main story. We look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 32. It's the story of a young man. You all know the young man's name, I'm sure. It starts with D. And he has a heart after God. Does that give you enough clues? The Philistines came against Israel in the valley. And they brought forth in front of them a champion within their army. And that champion's name was Goliath, a giant, 9 foot something, like 3 meters tall in our language. The armor that he wore weighed about 70 kilos alone. He had a spear, a javelin, and something else. He had all of the armory, and he would come out evening, in the morning, in the evening, to challenge Israel. The initial challenge was that if I beat your opponent that you give to me, you will be our slaves, or vice versa. So there was a great fear. And at this time, David had already been anointed as the king from Samuel, and Saul had already disobeyed God. So there was not a blessing in the house of Saul at this time. Therefore, the problem, I believe. But this Philistine mocked. He disdained David. He disdained the people of Israel. He put them down, and he come out morning and evening challenging. But Israel was stuck in fear. There was a hopeless situation. There was no hope because no one had the anointing to take the fight. Because this was a do or die. This wasn't just for this generation. This would affect generations to come. If Israel lost and they became slaves of the Philistines, it wasn't just one generation, but that was for keeps, just like it was in Egypt, but God brought the deliverance. But there's a young shepherd boy who came, and his name David. And we're just going to read from verse 33 of chapter 17. David hears the taunts and the mockings and whatever else from Goliath. No one else had the guts, for the lack of a better word, to go. But David says, I will go. I will do it. This little shepherd boy, he knew that the experience of the sheep, looking after his dad's sheep, when a wolf or a wild beast would come in for the attack, he would take care of it to protect his sheep. And he said, just like that, I can take down this giant. Are there giants in your life tonight? Is there giants? Is there mountains to get over? Is there valleys that you want to get out of? Just be like David and say, I'll go. I'll go because I know it's not me, it's God in me. I know it's not my strength, but it's the strength of the Lord that is in me. The hope of glory. And when we pick up here in verse 33, it's to a point where David is ready to go, and Saul, the negativity, watch negative people in your life. Don't allow them in your life. Don't allow them to influence you. Be an influence to them instead of them being an influence to you. But Saul attempts to influence David, and he says, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. In other words, he is a highly trained, highly experienced warrior, and you're a shepherd boy. Does that matter if God is involved? It certainly matters if he's not, but it doesn't matter if he is, as we'll find out. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. As we look through this passage, we see David's absolute faith in his God, knowing that God is his way maker, that there is no way unless God is involved. If you're in a situation tonight, and this is what the Word of God is about, church, it's about encouraging you. I can tell you stories, like bedtime stories, but they need to be life applicable. They need to be applied to your life. You need to take a look at what David has done thus far and what I will continue to tell you that he does. And you need to take that into your life. and say, I want to dance like David danced. I want to sing like David sang. I want to have the heart like David had. Because he is a great demonstration and a type of our Lord Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. And a descendant as well. So we find, and I'm just not going to read that, I'm just going to explain it to save some time here, but we see that Saul presents armor and all of the normal soldier stuff to David, and he puts it on. He can't walk, he can't swing the sword, he can't do anything, but I don't really believe David really wanted it anyway. So he says, I can't work with this. I haven't tested it. It's untested as far as I'm concerned. So Saul, thank you, but no thank you. I will do things how God's asking me to do it. So what does David do? He takes his staff. He goes down to the brook and grabs five stones. Five smooth stones. And he starts walking. And I believe when he was walking down that into that valley to face this Philistine villain and this enemy, I believe that's where Psalm 23 was birthed from. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And comfort, we take comfort, like we've got a little dog, a little dash hound, and she loves jumping on the lounge. She loves Jody. She won't come to me except if she wants to bite. But she goes to Jody. She goes to Jody for comfort, for peace. But comfort comes with a power as well. That his rod and staff gives you the ability to have all turmoil and chaos put to the side and just have a peace that surpasses and transcends all our human understanding, to rest in your heart so that you can be an overcomer and be more than a conqueror. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in your life that can't be achieved if you place him first. And that just as David was walking down that valley of the shadow of death, which it was, this Philistine giant in the natural was a dangerous person to be around. I don't know about you, but if I go down a dark alley and I meet someone 3 meters tall and 10 foot wide, he wasn't that wide, but if I meet someone, am I going to take him on? But for the Lord, no, because I'll get crushed. David was bold, he was courageous, because he knew his waymaker. He knew that God had him in the palm of his hands, and this uncircumcised Philistine had no right to curse Israel, because what God blesses cannot be cursed. Amen? If God blesses it, it can't be cursed. And that's all that he was flinging at Israel for the last 40 days and 40 nights was curses, accusations, mocking, putting them down. But yet, this ruddy little shepherd boy in the background, insignificant, Eliab or whatever his brother's name was, even tried to stop him and say, you can't do this, just go home to dad, will you? Thanks for the cheese and thanks for the bread, but go. But did that stop him? Did anything stop him? Are you getting a message here for your life? When you have God on your side, you are unstoppable if you trust him. And if you take those steps towards your giant. I went to a place the other day. It was one of the clients and they had a dog and it was barking and it looked vicious and everything. And I'm not one often that has the courage, because I've been bitten a couple of times by dogs, so I'm not fully courageous when it comes to dogs, especially if they look vicious. But I went to this dog and I approached it and I patted it and it was fine. I still got my hands, as you can see. We need to go towards the danger, because the one who protects us from danger has already gone there and he's already there. He set up a banner before us, raised up a standard before us. Three great armies came against Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat said these words, The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Does that give you peace? Does that give you comfort? David had that revelation as he was going to that Philistine giant. The battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. He is in control. And you all know the story, how it ends. But I want to tell you, on that day, there was two giants there. There was two giants in that valley. You know where we're going with this? Well, I won't say it. Yes, I will. You have Goliath, a giant in the flesh. This world has so many giants in the flesh. But we have David, who was a giant in the spirit. He was a giant in the spirit. And in fact, if you could see the two giants from the spiritual and the fleshly realms, David towered over Goliath. Amen. And you know what? You said amen, which means so be it. You tower over the enemy. You tower over your flesh. You tower over sin because of Jesus. If you let sin reign in your mortal bodies, and if you let sin reign in your life, it becomes a giant to you because you're succumbing to it. But when you treat sin like David treated Goliath and said, I'm not afraid of you, my God shall look after me. If you can get to that place in your life and in your heart, you will have the victory. Saul tried to put all that armor on him, but David said, no, God is my covering. God is my armor. God is my shield. God is my sword. Read Ephesians chapter 6 tonight when you go home, from verse 12. I'm not going to share that now as we have to do communion shortly. But I want you to know that God is your covering. He's your rear guard, and he's this banner that goes before you. And he's your ever-present help in times of trouble. Just reach out to him. Trust him and ask him for his wisdom. And you know the most wonderful thing here after Goliath's downfall? We see in the next chapters of Samuel, when David comes back into the town, it's the ladies are singing, celebrating this great victory over the Philistines, and they're singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. You know what? It's not for the glory of David, but it's for the glory of God. David didn't want any of that. I'm sure he didn't. Because we know that he was a man after God's own heart. And if he was a man after God's own heart, he would not want any of that glory. He would pass all of that glory to him. Any crown that he ever wore would pass to his God. Any crown that we receive, any commendations that we get, any praise that you might get, not me, all to him. Amen. Just give everything to him. And when we see Goliath overcome, we see that as the enemy propels all of these accusations, all of these things for the bad of that nation of Israel, we see that it come back on his head. You take a look at the book of Esther. There's a man called Haman, and he conspired against Mordecai. And in fact, he went as far as to build gallows for his hanging and for his death. But the end of Haman, the enemy in this case, was that he was hung on those very gallows that he built. The enemy will be hung on the very thing that he comes to attack you with. He'll be hung on that. And Jesus hung on the cross for you and for me so that we could be those overcoming people that he wants us to be. We can't overcome by ourselves. We can't make it. We don't know the way. He lights the way. If you're in darkness, he's the light in the darkness. If you're a bit unsure if he's on your side, well, he's your promise keeper. Amen. He's not going to let you down. And if there's something in your body, in your mortal body, or in your life, or relationship, financial, whatever the problem is, he's the miracle worker. He's the way maker, and as the song says, that is who he is. That is who he is. I want you to know him tonight. I want to know him more tonight. And this first Sunday night service, it's been an absolute privilege to share with you tonight. And this is a picture of things to come. God made a way for a new pastor to come to your church, to our church. I just want you to know that the only way is up. Just trust God. Believe. Believe in him. Trust him. Follow him. Surrender to him. And be like David. And don't let fear overcome you in your life, but rather overcome fear. Be the overcomer, because your enemy, whatever that might be, whoever that might be, will be the recipient of that fear that was meant for you. God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. We are called. We're going to come around the communion table. And I've just asked the elders or who is going to be involved in that. I believe that it would be fitting tonight to just hand the elements around and take communion together. But first we will pray over the elements. And I'll ask Graham to do the bread, Jamie the wine.
And you said, "This is my body that is broken for you." And you said, "Be reminded of this. And whenever we do this, we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. He has taken our penalty upon himself once and for all. And tonight, as we come together to partake of in this bread, that it may remind us again of what our dear Lord has done for us. And we do thank you, Lord, for your obedience to your Father. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen."
Father, we come around this table as you instructed to remember you, to remember that you are there, you will support us, you will be with us through whatever trials. You sacrificed your life for us, so you're going to be there for us. We thank you for the blood you shed, so that we could have a new covenant, a new blessing from your Father. And we thank you in Christ's name.
Just like the message this morning that Brother Jeff brought, how wonderful and pleasant it is to see brothers and sisters dwelling in unity. And there's no greater time than when we come around the communion table. As we hold the bread, symbolic of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we hold the cup, symbolic of his blood shed for us. We remember that he did everything and continues to do everything for you, for me. And I just want to read from the scriptures before we partake and as we partake. And it says here, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together tonight. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of Mount Calvary, that you went to the cross for our shame, for our sin, and for our future hope. We wouldn't be here tonight hearing your word and fellowshipping together, partaking of communion together, Father, except for you. And for that, Lord, we appreciate you. We will be forever grateful that we can come to you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can obtain that mercy that we so much need. And as we have partaken together as a church family tonight, I thank you that your anointing that will destroy every yoke would rest upon each person in this house. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our hearts and that you have touched our hearts tonight, and that we will walk out those doors changed, transformed, renewed, and strengthened, Father. And we thank you, Father God, for the communion that we can have with you each and every day of our lives. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Just in closing tonight, I'd just like to give the opportunity. The message that we've shared tonight is a message of encouragement. Encouragement to take courage and to take steps in your life towards the Lord and towards, more importantly, the giants that are challenging you, because the Lord has already gone before you. If there's something in your life tonight, any one of you, or many of you, if there's something in your life tonight that is testing you and that you just have not got the strength to pass that test in your own opinion, and you just want to meet the way maker, you just want to commune with him like we just have, you just want to get closer to him so you just know that everything's going to be okay. It could be a health issue, it could be financial, it could be whatever it is. He's the way maker. He's the hope giver. He's the lover of your soul. He's the salvation giver. He's benevolent in all of his ways. He loves each one of you. So if you're in here tonight and you need help, I can't help you, but Jesus can. And I'm just going to say a short prayer. And if you're that person or them people, I just invite you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the God of the universe and that I am in your hands and you have the whole world in your hands. I surrender all that I am to you tonight. I surrender every circumstance, every situation, everything that has worried my mind and my heart and plagued me. And I surrender it and bring it to the foot of the cross tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would give me that peace that I so much need. And that this circumstance or this issue that I'm facing, Lord, you are the way out. You can show me the way out. You are the light in the darkness. You are the one that says my promises are yes and amen. And you are the one that can perform the miracle that I need. So I pray, Father God, for your people in this house tonight, that you would perform breakthroughs and miracles, life-changing restoration to their hearts and lives and that of their families. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name, our Lord, who reigns forevermore. Amen.